da 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 da. That's the opening to the Buffy soundtrack, motherfuckers, if you guys are so confused from the show, but you wouldn't know that because you watched the movie. And welcome, everybody, to another exciting episode of Fried Rice Podcast. I'm your host, Andy Rice. Let's get fried. With me, as always, is Austin. He drove from Sunnydale, California, which is about 3.5 hours from here, to be here. Farrell.
Check me out on Google Plus.
It's Michael. I put a stake in his heart about a week ago, and he's still not dead. He's still
Chelios, motherfucker.
Larson, don't scream into the mic. And with us as always, it's another nitpick. Someone can clip of me being neurotic. And with us as always, it is Brennan. Shipley out to Boston.
Hello, everybody.
I like how we all tack on later.
Yeah. It's like you don't know what's coming until I'm doing it.
Sometimes it's a totally different song.
It's true. Yeah. Well, yeah, not in a regular episode. Anyway, everybody, welcome. First off, at the top, let's talk about what's coming up. Please go check out our YouTube channel. We're putting up some new content up there every week, sometimes every day, depending on the holiday season. And we're doing some new video stuff. So if you want to see what we look like instead of just what we sound like, go check out our YouTube channel, Fried Rice Podcast. Check out our website, FriedRicePodcast.com, because we are a company. And it's on GoDaddy, so it's going to say that it's not secure, but it is. I'm not trying to steal any of your money. You can check out this wonderful free GoDaddy website that I created. And at the very bottom, there's a number that you can call. Please call that number. It'll go directly to a voicemail. I'm not going to ring. I put this in every single description of every episode. At the very bottom, it'll say, Andy's not sitting at home like it's the 90s with one of those phones with a long cord, and he's just sitting there and he's waiting for you to call. No, I don't. I sometimes check the voicemail. You know what I mean? Like, so don't you just leave one and we'll get to it and we'll play it and it'll be great. You can tell us what to review, what to read for book review, whatever you want. Tell us you fucking hate us. Tell you love us. Name a favorite. I love seeing my minions fight amongst themselves. So if you want to see who should be my second in command out of these three, show some favoritism. Also, Austin Farrell and myself, Andy Rice, are part of the comedy troupe Mojave Comedy. We make laughs locally. You can check us out at mojavecomedy.com. That's a real website by a real dude. That our guy paid real money for, and it looks great. It has all of our shows on there. You can check us out on Facebook, Mojave Comedy, which is also a great way to find our events. A few of them coming up soon. Tomorrow, you can check us out at Red Dog Saloon. That's November 2nd, if you're listening to this the day that this came out, and that is in Needles, California. On the 5th, which is a Tuesday, I won't be there, but you can check out Austin and Alex Ansel. I said Axel, but Alex Ansel at the Lighthouse. Laughs at the Lighthouse at the Lighthouse Lounge in Havasu. You can check us all out at the Bullhead Bell, which is like a restaurant, on the November 15th at 7 p.m. And then the big one, I would say, probably one of our biggest ones, is Laughs on the Lake at the Heat Hotel in Havasu. So if you're looking for a reason to get out to Havasu, November 16th, it's a Saturday, starts at 8 p.m. It's a huge, cool crowd. It's fucking awesome. It's a great hotel. You can probably book yourself a room. They have a fun bar. We'll all be there. We'll be having a great time. And, yeah, so that's all our events. Check us out. Let's get into it. What are we smoking? And that was it right at 420 when I said that. Couldn't have timed that more perfectly. I am packing Alien Labs OZ Kush. It's what I've been packing. I like the way it tastes. I like the way it smokes. But then later, I brought... You haven't had this one yet. It was on discount at Story. So it's called PAX. And it's got a fun little jar. But what makes this interesting is the flavor is black cherry gelato.
Notice he didn't say good. He said interesting. Just remember that.
But it's black cherry gelato with the Camel Crush technology of a ball that you pop. adds a strawberry vanilla.
That's cool. That's
so
start it and then pop it.
Yeah, that's what I did last time. Yeah. And so we'll
see.
What
I used to do with Camel Crushes, I'd smoke half of it regular and then pop it.
So. That's exactly what I said. That's so if you listen to if anyone who smokes Camel Crushes
that's
will
how
tell
you,
that's
it.
What you do.
Yeah.
That's what it looks like.
That's cool.
What did you bring?
I also decided to go try Story Cannabis for the first time. Sorry, you distracted me with that cool bottle. And I decided to get Toasted XXXL 5-gram 8th premium indoor flower. What's the strain? Blue Widow. Been pretty tasty. It's pretty good. It's what's in the bong right now. And then I also got a free pre-roll, a couple of free pre-rolls and a free 8th for buying a bunch of shit.
Yeah, me too.
yeah. This one is Watermelon Gushers.
Ooh, that sounds good. Well, I got to take this hit off this bong. So that is the What Are We Smoking? And always, it's basically just Brendan and I. Mike has his own way of getting high. He does edibles before coming here. He's got a heart condition, so he can't smoke as much.
Are those edibles kicking in, Mike?
They kicked in about halfway through the Who episode, in case you didn't notice.
Was that really the Buffy soundtrack? I thought you were doing Godzilla at the beginning.
He goes, da, 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 da.
That's Godzilla.
And then there's a...
Godzilla, yeah.
I mean, I listen to it all the time. I have it on several playlists because it gets me pumped when I hear the Buffy sound. It's a banging, like really good.
It's what you put on after you drink your cap full of GHB and start to go to town.
yeah, we can't keep making references to episodes that are coming out several months from now. so the movie that we watched this week was Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 1992. And I believe it was written by Joss Whedon, but not directed by him. And that was, I think, the difference. It makes a big old difference because I forgot who, I didn't write down who it was directed by. I think it's the same guy that directed Mannequin 2 on the Move, if I'm not mistaken. I know that she stars
Christy Swanson stars in that also.
I might
Wait,
be
Mannequin
wrong.
2 starring Bob Pilarski?
Yeah, starring yes. our friend Robert Pilarski, yeah. So... If you're familiar with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, the TV show, and you did not know that there was a movie that came out 5 years before the TV show aired. This movie stars a different actress, Christy Swanson, instead of Sarah Michelle Gellar. It's a different school. The school that they are at in this one is...
My good fucking lord, is that...
Those are my notes.
How many pages of notes?
Three, four. Four pages.
Four pages.
Yeah.
We're going to keep this short, though.
Yeah, I thought we were trying to make it quicker.
Yeah, no, we'll be quick. She's at Hemery High School in this one. She's also a senior in high school. In the show, she's a sophomore. Now that we've all seen the movie, I can say that the first thing that her principal, the opening of the show, basically, not the actual opening where we meet one of the vampire chicks, becomes prevalent later, but when we meet Buffy, she goes into school, her principal's there, and he's looking over her transcript. He's like, looks like you burned down your gymnasium at your last school and there was a bunch of stuff. And she's like, well, I didn't, you know, it wasn't really all me. And like, and she's trying to like, whatever. He's like, so how about we don't have any of these issues here moving forward? That'd be great. I guess he's a nice principal. Flutie was a nice principal. When he something happens to him. Sorry, I'm not trying to ruin the show if you haven't seen it. When we get Principal Snyder, he...
Wait, when did the show come out?
He's trying not to spoil 20-year-old stuff.
19-something?
1997.
And when did it end?
2000, and, well, 7 years after that. So
okay, so go ahead and ruin it.
Okay.
It's fine. Anyone who's going to see Buffy has seen Buffy.
Yeah, I got you. So when we get the new
You're
principal...
You're going to ruin it for maybe two people that are like, oh, Buffy, that show sounds awesome. I'm going to watch it for the first time.
Well, I hope I can convince
and that's
people
be
to
not
try
me,
starting watching.
So I don't care.
Well, don't start him with this movie, then.
Well, okay. Well, yeah, this is actually, I would say, for the most part, if you're going to watch Buffy, it actually works better as watch the show. Watch this as an artifact of what could have been.
Because is the show more serious than the movie? Because I felt the movie was it was kind of hard to tell if it's supposed to be comedy or not.
Well, like, the movie's 100% a comedy.
Okay.
It is a very, like, very funny comedy.
Yeah, like that's not.
And this isn't me Battlefield Earthing it. Yeah. This is legitimate.
That's too many varies.
That's way too many varies. It's got funny moments.
Paul Rubens' death was.
Okay, wait. No, we're not getting into it just yet. But, I'm not done with the backstory of Buffy. Let me just finish my point.
This is a sexploitation film.
Yeah, that's kind of
a very like polite, like kind of more wrapped up sexploitation, not so blatant.
Yeah, I mean, if you're saying that it gives off vibes of like From Dusk Till Dawn or Bordello of Blood, those kind of like cheesy sort of vampires, that's 100% intentional. But here's the thing, Joss Whedon. Who this is his creation, he wrote this script. It didn't work out the way he wanted it to be because he didn't direct it. When he had free reign over the show, 5 years totally later, the tone of the show is much more serious. It is a drama with funny moments sprinkled in and lighthearted stuff throughout.
Yeah.
There's a musical episode. But they have a character who all he does is wisecrack, right? But shit hits the fan a lot in that show where they have to buckle down and be serious. There's deaths. There's drama. But it's also teen drama. So it doesn't go too far into the dark. You know, there's some episodes
that
will make
dark,
you tear
but it's
up.
Fairly dark. But it's like, okay, my wife who loves Buffy like you do. My wife who loves Buffy like you do hates this movie.
Then she doesn't love Buffy like I do.
No. Because you're loving it for you're loving this movie based on how you feel about the show.
I like parts of her.
Because
okay.
Even Joss Whedon says this movie sucks. Because he didn't get to do it. They changed it. The studio changed it into a comedy. It was never supposed to be a comedy.
He didn't pull a Quentin Tarantino and write final draft on every page of the copy.
Joss Whedon doesn't even like this movie.
But I've read that, and that's fine.
Yeah.
Because it's not a Joss Whedon. I get that. I can understand Joss Whedon being like, I don't like this movie because it didn't work the way I wanted it to.
It's not the movie I tried to make.
As a Joss Whedon collaboration with a director and a producer's involvement, it's still, to me, a phenomenal comedy that sets up what Buffy could have been if they went down a comedic route, and I don't think that's the way they should have gone. But the way I view this movie, and it has to be viewed this way because of the inconsistencies of her age, and her parents being different people and different actresses, is that this is a multiverse situation. We have to address it as the movie was a multiverse Buffy, because there's a few glaring things, like, for instance, the Watchers. So in this movie, we have Merrick, the Watcher, and it shows clearly that he's been her Watcher for centuries. And every time there's a new Slayer. It's always Christy Swanson, it looks like, to varying degrees. And it's always him, the chosen one. And he raises her, but she has different sensibilities of the time. So she's not necessarily the same person, but it looks like she's Christy Swanson, at least for that one flashback. In the show, which is the way that Whedon really wanted it to be, is that there's a Watcher Council. There are hundreds of Watchers. There are thousands of girls in the world that could potentially be a Slayer once the Slayer dies. So presumably, and I don't know why we never really get this in the show, which is crazy.
Is there only one Slayer at a time?
Okay. So the Slayer dies, a new Slayer is born. Not born, but like a new Slayer. So a teen girl who's out there, one of potentially thousands, will get the power of the Slayer. Hopefully she has a Watcher. So in Buffy, again, spoilers, so sorry guys, but in the show, the first season, she gets drowned for about a minute and dies and then gets resurrected. So during that death, an African chick named she becomes the Slayer. So two Slayers. So it's Buffy and her and Kendra. So Buffy and Kendra become dual Slayers. Spoilers again. When Kendra dies, we get Faith. And Faith is played by Elijah Dushku, and she's the main other Slayer.
So because Buffy came back, then there's two?
Yes.
Like, because she survived it?
Exactly. And so Faith is a chick who the council never found. So Faith grew up in a foster system. like got lost in the shuffle of all that, had a bad upbringing, can't trust people. Now she gets a bunch of superpowers, and they're trying. So they had to bring in another watcher for her. So like, Buffy has a watcher, Giles, but then they brought in Wesley, who's a different watcher, to be Faith's watcher. So like, there's enough watchers. There's a watcher council. They test Buffy. Like at one point, they show up and they like pull tests on her. Like they give her a potion that gets sort of the Black Panther treatment. They take away her power and then have her fight some vampire. And if she dies, it's like she's not supposed to be the Slayer. But if she lives, you know, like, and she beats a vampire straight up at, on her own, then like it's worth it. So the lore of the of Buffy and the lore of the Watcher, all of that is so compelling. We don't get the Angel story in this, and Angel's whole thing is fucking super fascinating. He's a vampire, the worst vampire. Where his name was Angelus. He was just a normal guy, became a vampire, and then for several hundred years, he came up with the worst possible tortures he could think of for just people. Like, when he becomes Angelus again in the real timeline, in, like, real, like, in Buffy's timeline, after being good, which I'll explain in a second, he takes Giles' girlfriend. He kills her, and she was a main character at this point. Like, people really loved her. He puts her dead body up in the bed, and then he lays rose petals down so and candles. So when then Giles gets home, he, like, opens it up. He's like, oh, this is sweet. And he, like, walks up and then gets in bed with his, like, dead fucking girlfriend. And that's just the kind of fun that Angel or Angelus played. So he, Angelus, makes the mistake of killing a gypsy girl who everyone loved, and that gypsy girl's family put a curse on him. And the curse was to give him his soul back. So now he can remember every vicious thing he's ever done, and he has the consciousness and the soul to feel the like regret and like shame that that would bring and guilt. So he is just a fucking wreck after that point. He lives in the sewers. He doesn't kill any more people. He eats rats. He's like fucking, he just hates himself. And then he sees Buffy, and it kind of brings him out of his funk a little bit, and they start a romance together. And so it's Buffy the Vampire Slayer with a vampire with a soul is her boyfriend. So makes this kind of beautiful relationship. Yeah. So then eventually he gets, they break up and he goes to Los Angeles, and he starts, it's Angel has his own show. And, that is my favorite of the two. I know I talk about Buffy a lot, and the reason I don't talk about Angel more is because you need to know a lot about Buffy to get into it. I'm trying to prep you guys for, you know.
I never knew you were this passionate about Buffy.
Oh, yeah? Very. Yeah. So, okay. And anyway, that's Joss Whedon also did Dr. Horrible Single on Blog.
Josh Whedon's great. That's what surprised me so much about me not liking this movie. And
but which is weird, because the dialogue in this is so good.
A lot of it is, and a lot of it's it's very campy, Andy. It's not good. It's campy.
Well, let's get
good and campy aren't really the same thing.
Well, wait, hold on. Rocky Horror Picture Show, people would argue that the camp of it makes it good, right?
Yes.
There are movies that, because of the camp, it makes it good.
Yes.
I would argue that Buffy's on the same level as a Rocky Horror, as a, what's that movie about the plant, Audrey, that gets big and eats people? Little Shop of Horrors.
Little Shop of Horrors. Do you think this compares to Little Shop of Horrors, honestly?
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. It's a homage to vampire movies in a very deliberately exploitation style, like, vibe. Like,
yeah,
I think
like, what's like modern Valley Girl, like kind of like campy. I would
and
say.
It does have
that's
the Valley
campy. It's very campy.
Yeah, but all of that is so over the top on purpose.
Yeah,
it's like it's just like Clueless. Alicia's like the.
Are you sure it's on purpose? Because that's not what Josh Whedon thinks. It's like you think the exact opposite of what Josh Whedon does, which is so weird to me. Because
Josh,
be as big a Buffy fan as you are,
yeah,
that's why it's strange. Because you're such a big.
What about
90% of, if you go talk to Buffy fans, most of them hate this movie.
Okay.
It's just the way it is.
Sounds like they're letting the show influence them.
I think so, because they probably mostly saw it before they saw the movie, and it's the same.
I watched the show before I watched the movie.
Yeah.
But actually, I might have watched the movie. I watched the movie first when I was a kid Forgot all about it. Yeah, absolutely. I watched this as a kid. And I liked it.
Yeah,
and
I think
then I
that is
the show.
Why I think they compared it to the show, and it doesn't hold up compared to the show.
But again,
that explains a lot. Christy Swanson and all those tights showing her tits everywhere. You saw this as a kid. Now you're a Buffy lifelong fan. You don't care who plays her.
Yeah. That's fun.
I could play Buffy. You'd watch every episode.
You just said that right now. No, but here's the thing. Again, sure, maybe Joss Whedon didn't like the end result, didn't like what they did with his script or whatever, but I don't care. I don't care what Joss Whedon thinks about this movie. Joss Whedon can hate his... I don't care if people hate their own work, if I enjoy it. Like, it's...
Well, he just doesn't consider it part of it. He doesn't even consider it his work. That's the problem. They change it so much.
Okay.
That it's not his work.
And that's
this
fine.
Not
but
really
I'm not
going to
let that affect how I feel. Yeah. The director, the director of the movie made a deliberate homage to exploitation-style movies with a great script. He got a Joss Whedon script, and he ran with it in a way that I really liked. So if Joss Whedon had his way, we would have had a much more serious tone movie, and it would have been closer to the show, and maybe the world wouldn't have been ready for it in 1992, and maybe that's all we would have gotten. But instead, we get this really fun, campy movie that's awesome in a way that I absolutely love. I love every little detail of it, and it led to Joss Whedon being so upset by it that he got his own show down the line. So this is, without this, we wouldn't have had the show. And if we had had his original one, we might not have had the show. Because he would have put her as a senior right off the bat. So then that gets rid of the entire high school angle of the show. Like, he would have had... And then, like... So just, it doesn't... So, like, who cares what Joss Whedon thinks? So,
It's just funny how mad you get.
Well, it's just like...
No one disagree with me!
No, I don't... No, you can disagree with me all you want. Even Joss Whedon, he can disagree. It's his movie, right? Like, or he's part, like, he wrote the script for it. And he can absolutely hate it. But, like, also, there's a lot of artists, like, Shia LaBeouf hates every movie he's been in. Like, he doesn't like watching it, right? Sure. Like, I think that's like a meme where it's just like he kind of hates everything he's been in.
Yeah.
So I should hate those movies now because it didn't work out the way Shia LaBeouf wanted?
Well, I think that's more like his childhood stuff because it reminds him of the traumatic childhood he had.
Okay, but even that.
Some weird guy came into his high school and told him that he has to kill vampires.
Yeah, that was pretty creepy.
It does get a little creepy.
It's a little creepy. Just shows up in the girl's locker room just like, hey.
Yeah, that I was like, okay, this is kind of weird. No guy dressed like that can just walk into a high school these days. And then he's in the fucking locker room. I'm like, all right, well, I guess they knew what I was thinking.
Yeah. Now, part of me thinks that the reason she doesn't freak out more is that there's obviously a history throughout the centuries between Slayer and him. So I have to operate completely off of movie rules.
So like a subconscious connection.
Yeah, exactly.
That she feels.
So I'm going off of movie rules, not Buffy vampire TV rules, because you have to go off of the rules that are established in the premise that you're watching. So in this world, there's one vampire that wants to like kill her, like the lead guy. There's a one watcher that's lived for hundreds of years, and then she gets resurrected every time she dies, becomes a new Slayer. And I'm assuming he has to, like, wait then 15, 16 years to approach her, like, when he makes sure. Because it's like the Dragon Balls, almost. It's like, once she dies, he has to go find where the new one is born and then wait for that one to get to age so that he can approach her and be like, you're a vampire Slayer. So it took him a while to find her. I think he said longer than he would have liked. But he had to make sure that it was her.
So you're using Mike's logic of it's a movie, Andy, this movie?
When it suits him,
just
it's fine,
this movie only?
Wait, no.
I go into this world when it's,
I got to use the movie
logic.
Rules.
You're challenging everything he believes, Mike.
I'm not. That wasn't me.
No. You're not following what I'm saying. What I'm saying is when I watch a movie, I accept at face value what the movie's universe is trying to tell me. If a movie just opens and a person out of nowhere just starts levitating and starts flying around the room, I don't question it for 1 second because the movie is telling me that's what it is. But if for some... Okay, it's like with Space Truckers, right? We had established that they're in space and that gravity sometimes works correctly. But then when it doesn't, right, they break their own in-game universe, yeah, right? So, yeah, so like in-movie universe. So with Buffy the Vampire Slayer, 1992, the movie, this is the premise we get. Okay. This is the lifelong struggle between Vampire Slayer, Merrick, and the bad vampire. Okay, which I'm okay with. That's not the show. It's a completely right, different premise. It's a different universe. It's a multiverse sort of thing in my mind. So I'm okay with that. My first note was a nitpick of like, wait, why is the Watcher the same Watcher when it's a Watcher Council? Which doesn't, yeah, now I know. So Kiefer Sutherland is a vampire in The Lost Boys, and his dad is a Watcher in Buffy.
Yeah, that's funny.
I thought that was kind of funny. Yeah. I had that thought. I was like, cool. Do you remember dance squads in the gym for like pep rallies and stuff? I don't, probably
yeah,
not
we
you.
We had a dance team. Yeah, we had a dance team.
We had a dance team. It was like the Wolf Pack or the Wolf Gang or something, right, and it was like a big deal. People really liked when the Wolf Pack or Wolf Gang came out. And it was just a bunch of chicks, and they would just fucking like dance and shit. I hated pep rallies, but I thought that was fun. It definitely looks like a high school, of a 90s high school. Love the aesthetic. Now, you said that the
no,
uniform.
I did not. That was
your wife says that
wife,
the uniforms she's seen plenty in her years of seeing cheerleaders.
She's a teacher. She sees them all the time. Never seen cheerleaders in whatever those, not skirts and not shorts that they had on, whatever those were.
Yeah, but I think, and we're going to see a lot in this movie
of
90s, bold 90s fashion choices. Yes. That, I think, is deliberate.
Yeah.
You're talking about the intro, because my note for, okay, not, because it goes in the past, and I'm like, it's just like really quick, and I'm like, oh, cool, not too long of an intro. Next note, never mind. So that's watch. And then they're all talking together. These chicks are annoying. And then I go, oh wait, everyone's annoying.
Yeah, it's the 90s.
And then I got relieved because I saw, oh, that's Milton from Office Space.
Yeah,
right,
yeah,
on.
Yeah. Principal. That was great.
Another 90s term. Yabos must have been
yabos,
very popular in the 90s.
Yeah, yabos. I put that down from we just watched it, Hocus Pocus.
Yeah,
he says yabos.
And this, oh yeah, this bum at the high school has the Riz, is what I wrote.
Which
yeah,
bum?
The one that keeps talking to her, and she keeps talking to him. To be like, what the fuck are you doing here?
Yeah,
get the fuck out of here.
Luke Perry. Hillary Swank, awesome little Valley girl, loved it. Buffy's hot in this fucking movie. The Light Ages. Why did I write that down? The Light Ages, L-I-T-E. Is that
probably something related to Dark Ages?
Yeah, I think they were discussing the Light Ages and the Dark Ages.
The reason I wouldn't have spelled it wrong on purpose.
Oh, like, we get introduced to one of the greatest actors of all time, one of the nicest humans of all time, David Arquette.
Yes.
But I refer to him in this movie because he looks all drugged out, David Barbiturette.
Yeah, David Arquette's great. They're like these girls looked like the plastics before the plastics were a thing in Mean Girls. Like they were, I like that they walked up to their lunch place and the girls that were there immediately scrambled. Like they didn't have to say a word, they just walked over, they're like shit, and they fucking left. They totally acted like real teenagers. Like that is what dumb popular teenagers would be.
Those
like
are the
in a, yeah, yeah, it's like they're just like, we need an environmentally conscious, like what about litter? I like that whole thing where they're trying to figure out the theme for the dance.
Oh yeah,
just...
every noise Buffy makes throughout this entire movie is a sex moan.
Oh,
everything, every
especially when she's fighting.
Anything.
Retraining montage.
Making cereals.
Making what?
I said the training montage.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. I put ew. They show trailers for foreign movies there. Let's go to the AMC. Ew, they showed trailers
they said,
for foreign
I
movies.
I thought they said trailers for porn movies. That's...
No, they said foreign movies. And I
watched,
like...
in my defense, I watched this on a phone hungover in a room I was locked in.
It wasn't locked with an actual lock. It was locked by my word.
I was not allowed to leave. It might as well have been locked. And I had to hoop really bad.
Yeah, well... You should have asked Anthony.
I'm
if you
afraid
could
what I was
going to
walk. You're like, you were very sincere about me staying in there, and I was like, what am I going to see if I walk out of here?
And he was just,
I was just
scared,
facing the door, jerking off until 11:45.
Yeah, he's like, I was like, he's like, don't come out of that room. And I'm like, well, what if I have to go to the bathroom? Do I have to back out of the room? Am I going to see something terrible? Like, I'm going to goatsy, yeah, reverse goatsy back out of the room.
You should just start talking to him under the door. Andy, I got to poo.
Yeah, I almost at one point about 11:30 was going to knock on the door and be like, you're free to move around the cabin. But then I thought, no, I want a little bit more privacy.
No, I come out, Andy's naked. He's like, just like in the movie, this is a naked place.
Naked place. Andy is an animal, someone says. That's pretty funny because I'm Andy, and the character that's a real perv trying to hit on Buffy the whole time is Andy. Gargoyle Face is pretty funny. He's funny. The jock that looks like he's a gargoyle.
He's like the first jock that died.
Yes.
And turned into a vampire.
Yeah. Yeah, he's got a very prominent forehead.
Yeah,
yeah, it looks like a Cro-Magnon man.
Was he the one that was like basketball playing?
He comes out at the end with Ben Affleck, and he plays against him for a second.
Yeah.
Scares him. Here, just take it, man.
I thought that was Ben Affleck.
It was.
He wasn't in the IMDb.
Super young Ben Affleck.
Uncredited.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Paul Reubens is absolutely delightful in this role.
He saves the movie.
He saves it. He's so funny. He's just so campy, over the top. I love anytime his interaction with the master, like the master just sticking his hand out so that he can get a little kiss. They come back down. Yeah. So good. Rooter.
Paul, is it Pee-wee?
Pee-wee.
That's Pee-wee.
Yeah.
I couldn't see it.
You couldn't see it?
I was like, Paul Reubens, is Pee-wee in this? And I could not find him.
Even the death, you couldn't see it?
He's the guy that lost his arm, right?
Yeah.
And died
real
dramatically.
Dramatically for, I think, 30 minutes of the movie. Yeah.
I got a Steve Buscemi vibe from him.
Yeah.
I got a Bill Murray vibe from the head vampire. And I got a Pete Davidson vibe from the one vampire that, like, kills the DJ.
Yeah.
Oh, wait,
DJ
the one
Slash.
That becomes the DJ?
Yeah.
That was the random vampire. I love that guy. He's just really getting into it. Another thing that's a little bit different about this versus the show is obviously the budget, but the way vampires die is another reason why this has to take place in a different universe, because there's corpses of vampires layered on the littered on the floor.
Getting detention.
That was great. That was great.
In the show, and this is a very fun detail that you might not pick up on if you watch the show for the first time, season one. So when you stab a vampire in the show, they dust. They turn to dust. Yeah. They poof into dust. Yeah. I have a theory that it depends on, like, who they are. It depends on how long the dusting process takes. Because, like, some vampires, you get them, and they instantly dust, but then, like, in the show, there's maybe two or three vampires that, when stabbed, go, oh, damn, and then die?
They endgame is what my wife said.
Yeah, they endgame. They turn the dust. But here,
that's what my wife says. But why aren't they endgaming?
Here's
the Buffy snap.
She said, why aren't they
endgaming? Yeah. here's the difference. Here's the fun little thing. If you watch season one, the graphics that they had weren't good enough to differentiate the stake from the dust. So when Buffy dusts a vampire, the stake and the vampires will dust every time. You get to season two, they figured it out where she dusts, and then I think they even make a point of, like, she dusts and let go, and the very obviously in the first episode the stake falls and clanks to the ground. It's like
we did it.
Okay? We fucking did it. Okay. They were really proud of it.
Added the sound effect
and
everything.
It's like slow motion. Slow motion falls. Okay, so Chip. Okay, Doritos Light. What the fuck? That's crazy. Kiss noise. That was fun. Someone just saying kiss noise.
A cool little part is
that was her stepmom.
Yeah,
she's talking to
her mom.
Her mom. I assume stepmom.
Mom.
She's in Milton's office talking to him, and she spits the tack at the fly. I was like, that's kind
of
cool.
That was awesome. That was one of my favorites.
I thought it was gonna look cooler too. I was like, I see what she's gonna do. She's gonna take the tack, spit it at the fly, and the way that they framed that, the fly with the tack in it, it was like, didn't look as cool as I thought it was gonna look.
It still looked cool. Here's the thing about Buffy's mom. It is her mom.
He was like, it still looked cool. The tack fly. Couldn't you give me a little tack fly? No, that was a great moment of cinematic history, Austin. What are you talking about? The little tack fly.
Are you making a pun with the words tack and fly right now that I'm not picking up on? Is that
Don't give me any ideas.
What?
Don't give me any ideas.
No, I'm just not picking up. Did you want more recognition that you said the words tack fly, or that you addressed that this was a cool scene?
I thought maybe it was just because of, you know, killing the fly would make this, probably why it's your favorite movie.
So you're saying the fly, thank you. That's what I needed. I needed some context. I wasn't picking up what you were saying. Yes. Holy shit, if I could spit a tack at a fly in this apartment, I would be a god. I would never leave. I'd let them in, and I would hunt them.
Sure.
Is that what we're talking about?
Yeah.
Andy the fly hunter.
Like, what are we doing?
Disconnect. I don't know.
Tack
but,
fly hunter.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, see? Now I got to, every time someone says tack fly, I'm going to make sure tack I acknowledge fly. Them. But here's the thing about Buffy's mom. The credits of this movie, they start going, the first credit, Candy Clark as Buffy's mom. And then it just goes. There's an entire blank screen, and then cast. And we get the rest of it. I mean, isn't that strange? Think about that. The first credit, it is by itself with no other cast near it. It's just Candy Clark as Buffy's mom. Well, that gets a whole ass just by itself scroll, and then cast. Christy Swanson as Buffy. Rooter,
maybe they
Rutger
forgot
Howard's.
Her the first time and had to tack it in there.
It kind of feels that way. It's like almost
tack
like
fly
they
it in.
What?
They had to tack fly it in.
They had to tack fly it in. Thank you, Brendan, for another tack fly reference. I just thought that was weird.
I wonder why.
I don't know.
The post-credit scene was funny, too.
Yes.
More you Paul got, Rubin
with
stuff.
More Paul Rubin dying. Yeah. Did you
oh,
watch
God,
the post-credit?
I did not watch that, yeah, no.
It cuts back to Paul. He gets up and goes, ooh, ah, ee, ah, oh. That dies.
Yeah. Yeah. What was up with that? What was up with that death? I forgot. I didn't write that down.
It was
well,
the best.
In this
Pee Wee's Big Death is what
yeah. In this universe, he like kicks the wall like shucks. And then
yeah. Apparently, in this universe, that's you know, good acting.
Yeah. No. Well,
it was hilarious. Yeah. I thought it was funny. It
yeah,
was
but
funny.
That's the thing. It is like in this universe, in this movie.
Yeah.
This was fun. I wanted that. I loved every time. The Rutger Hauer vampire was like over the top, super like wasn't that some cool imagery when she went down to sleep and he was right behind her? Like, I know it's like creepy because it's like, you know, like she's a high school kid, but like, think about just the imagery of that. Like, she's fallen asleep and it's so ingrained in her brain.
Kind of. I had a little trouble with Rutger Hauer, honestly, because he was very.
He's not who I would have.
Yeah.
Not who I would have chosen. If yeah, I had not, any miscast, it would be him as the main guy.
Yeah.
But that being said, I don't think he did a bad job.
I
wish we had someone a little bit more chew the scenery. Like if we, Willem Dafoe.
Yes.
If we had had
now,
Willem Dafoe.
That might have made this an entirely different movie to me.
Because if he had, because if we had someone that would just really.
And some gravitas. He didn't have the gravitas.
I like this
do
duality
it.
Between you guys, and it's mostly been Mike, but now you guys throw this back at each other, and now Andy gets. It's a fucking movie.
Yeah.
Finally, there you go. It took his
After,
favorite
wait,
movie
wait,
of all time.
And you have to know that Thursday said, you can't do that to me anymore ever again.
I did. I gave Mike a note.
Where I was like, give me a note. Never do that again.
In future
and then he
discourse.
Just instantly starts doing it to me.
He locked Mike in the room for a couple hours.
I guess I'm... Wait. I still don't feel like I am saying it's just a movie.
You started
you
by
are.
Saying
no,
it was
not
you
just a movie. I never say that.
We said you got to stay in
the
movie's
That's
world.
What I'm saying, yeah. But I would use that for any movie we were talking
no,
about.
No,
if we were talking about, if we were talking about The Matrix or whatever, I would like I then would just say I accept everything that this movie's telling me is truth as I'm watching the movie. So
that's a bad example because you're all about simulation theory lately.
Well, in this simulation theory, I wish I could fucking edit you guys a little bit.
Whenever we
crazy,
talk about
nothing crazy, your lives wouldn't change too much, but you would come here with better attitudes.
The whole simulation theory thing is getting to me too now, because whenever I think of simulation theory, I think of Death Stranding and just how like accurate everything is. And you're saying like everything's like a giant game engine that we're in, with no glitches and everything. And I'm like,
what do you mean no glitches? Glitches all the time. Deja vu. Fucking,
no, like collision
not being
glitches.
Able to remember things. Like, I feel like that's just we're not good enough NPCs that we're full of that we have full memory capabilities.
I think that's like a RAM issue. Or something.
It would explain Mandela effects too.
Yeah, Mandela effects. Glitches. Absolutely.
Whoville.
Yeah. But like, I bet you there's a ton of glitches like that we just don't, you know, that we, whatever, right? Like, were there two shooters for JFK? Which if
Jesus, Andy.
How did we get there?
Where did you
know.
Go there?
I don't know. The worst late 80s, early 90s cafe bar ever, those fucking outfits. I actually love it. I love the place they go to. Yeah. Which is weird because I thought it okay, so in the regular in Buffy the show, the first few seasons, they couldn't decide that Buffy, so it's like, all right, Buffy, you're gonna be a sophomore with all of your friends, but then we also really want you to be able to go to a bar. So here's the Bronze is what we're gonna call this place. And it's an all ages nightclub that right. they go to constantly.
When I was a kid, they had those.
That's what Glitch used to be. It was a place called, it was called Plur, and then it was called Neon, and it was like 18 to 21.
No, but she's like 14, 15 years old. So we're talking like as a 15-year-old girl.
Wait, in the show? Or
in
the
show, in the, oh. she goes to the
yeah,
Bronze.
Yeah, we had one in our school. Yeah.
And the Bronze
in
is where they do sexy dancing. Yeah. There's nightclub. They have live bands. They, you know, they're not drinking. And I think that way, maybe they wear wristbands so they can't drink.
That's
whatever.
What we had. You had to get a wristband if you could.
Yeah.
And one side of the bar, it was like a big
like
building,
X.
And half. And one side of it was you could get alcohol on, and the other side was just sodas and stuff. Yeah.
They would put a permanent marker X on your hand for no.
Oh, y'all have one too.
Yeah for 18 to 21.
They were cool.
Yeah. Clubs. Well, and again, in Buffy's world, you could be a high school kid. Luke Perry and David Arquette.
David Barbiturate.
David Barbiturate. Dump change on the waitress's thing and says, what can we get? And she says, either two coffees or a hot dog with nothing on it. And my point is, who charges for condiments? Like, she makes a point of saying, you can have a hot dog with nothing on it for the amount of money that you gave me, but would ketchup cost more?
Who was the president at the
time? In this universe, I guess it does.
I guess it's true. It's Bush or...
Oh, 92?
No, Daddy Bush or was that Clinton?
It was Clinton, wasn't it?
Clinton in 92, I think, yeah.
I like the line where he says, kill him a lot.
Kill him a lot. One of my favorite lines was after David Barbiturate turns into a vampire and is like floating outside the window. And he's like, dude, go home. You're floating.
Yeah. You've had just a little too much.
That's great.
Or with the big showdown and the Watcher's like, she's a pain in the ass.
David Arquette gets the wiener and Perry got the bun. I don't know what that means, but they split the hot dog. And I love the how natural it was. So they got the hot dog, picks it up immediately. One gets the bun, one took the hot dog, and they just start eating. Like, it was great. It's like they didn't have to talk over it or anything. It was like kind of like they've been friends for a long time, and I got that feeling. Your Yabos, Hocus Pocus, we got that. Hocus Pocus was a year later than this. So they might have actually gotten Yabos from Buffy. The Plastics, I think, are hilarious together. Anytime they're talking, I think the dialogue is super funny. All that Valley Girl stupid bullshit. A creepy way to introduce himself, Watcher, in the locker room. Yeah. And I was like, whoa, Buffy has dreamt in vivid detail of being an actual slave. Because he says, like, he's like, oh, which one? Were you a slave in Virginia?
Yeah,
and I was
lives,
like,
right,
whoa, because she dreams in full vivid detail. So this chick, as vapid as she is at high school, has vivid dreams of what the actual life of a slave was back in the day. And she doesn't have the, speaking of gravitas, she doesn't have like that, the weight of like, of that knowledge doesn't help her. God, Anthony, Austin keeps looking at my fucking notes. He's like,
dude, there's arrows, there's dashes, there's underlines.
I'll go quick. do you have any gum? Oh, that was funny. The action is campy and over the top. Michael, it's basically slapstick. The show is better action. I was actually, when I went to a summer camp as a child, teenager, I was taught combat training by someone who did combat training on, or that did the combat on the show.
On the show.
So we did a Buffy fight, which is pretty cool, like a sword fight. That was a lot of fun. I got to learn that, like, the entire fight all the way through. And then it's like the stake actually gets through. It's bloody. They die. In the show, it's dust with or without the stake. That was my whole point. You on something? Look around. Nope. which is great because he's not on anything. Like, he's not. He's answering yes. He's like, I'm not on drugs, but I'm also not on anything.
Yeah. Bite me in.
Yeah, which is very funny. Like, it's so clever. Let me in. David Arquette is creepy as a fucking vampire. He's the creepiest one. He's the one that, like, if I saw him in an alleyway, I'd be like, ooh. But also Gargoyle Face.
And maybe Paul Rubens.
Yeah. What? He was fun.
He's fun,
he was
not
fun,
creepy.
But still I'd be like, oh, fuck. Like,
it was creepy when she slept on the vampire. It's weird seeing Buffy's mom as a different actress, different character completely. Like, she doesn't even act the same, like, at all. She's, like, always off partying in this one. She's, like, definitely a mom in the show. Like,
I assume stepmom the whole time with how she treats her.
Yeah, no, that's her real mom, I guess, in this one. The mustache twirl was pretty cool. That he does. He does like a little mustache twirl. One of the, I think the main guy.
Just needed railroad tracks.
For what? Oh, for the, yeah. Right after her first punch, she's into it. Oh, yeah. Like, right after Buffy, like, gets her first punch off, she's like, oh, shit, I like this.
This is
and
cool.
She, like, gets into it, yeah. Which I thought was great. Thomas Jane is in this movie.
I did not notice.
Wow. Yeah. So Thomas Jane is Luke Perry's mechanic boss with the long hair.
Oh.
And he tells, he goes, hey, what should I do if I see Benny? And then Luke Perry turns back, run. That's the guy.
Run.
So that's Thomas Jane. He went by Tom Jane back then. So I thought that was cool. The thumbtack fly scene, I love it. I wish I could do that.
Tack fly.
And her speech, his speech to her is actually funny. Like the, I thought I was a toaster. What does that mean? I don't remember. Watchers lived 100 lives. That's pretty
When you read these notes, it's exactly how I felt watching the movie. Yeah. What does that mean? Oh, I don't know. It doesn't matter.
There's a lot of sexual innuendos from Buffy to her watcher. Like, don't play with your part. Do you want to lie? Do you want to lie down? The first time hurts. Like, what?
So weird.
Yeah, it was kind of fun.
So, you could, in any other movie, Andy, you would be all over that. I refuse to accept.
Yeah. Exactly.
The van scene with Rubens. With Rubens following him in the van, that was fun. That was
great.
That was
the
great
van surfing scene.
Van surfing.
And he loses his arm.
Crashes into the tree. Fucking, I love that whole thing. Kill him a lot. That was great. Yeah. Luke Perry is great in this movie. Like, I like Luke Perry in this. Yeah. He does his job perfectly. Buffy flipping that creep. Like, hey, let me get some. Flips him. Okay, I don't actually need any. That was pretty great. Like, hey, let me get some. And then she, like, flips it. It's like, okay, I don't actually need any. That was, like, a funny line. Like, and I was like, that was an attempted sexual assault, though. Because remember, it was Andy. So, like, Andy was walking up, and he goes, like, hey, let me get some. And he's about to smack her ass. And she grabs him, flips him. And he goes, all right, yeah, never mind. I don't need any. Yeah. That was great. Okay. So the coach's plan, if you looked at his board, his pyramid with an eyeball.
It was so bad.
Plus male and female symbols over infinity equals win. Yeah, and I'm like, I get it.
That was the worst coach.
I get it.
Coaching them 45-year-old basketball players.
Yeah, are we the X's or the O's? We're the O's. Gargoyle face vampire at the game is great. The coach, by the way, the guy that does the coach, is the voice of Jimmy Neutron's father.
Thank God we know that.
But it's a very distinct voice.
What do you always call him?
Jimbo.
Yeah, but he has a super iconic voice.
Yeah.
And since you watch this, I don't know how much he's been in outside of that. Like, that's not voice work, so it's kind of interesting.
Yeah, I didn't make that connection.
Yeah. And he's you can kind of hear it when he talks.
Carl loves llamas. And he wants to fuck Jimmy's mom.
Oh, yeah. Jimmy's mom.
Jimmy's mom.
And llamas.
I jerk off to Jimmy's mom.
And llamas.
Jimmy, can you make me a robot llama mom? I mean, I gotta go.
I gotta draw a picture of your mom's head on a llama's body.
Here's something fun. The guy that from Gargoyle Face, he starred in Grind 2003, that's the skateboarding movie. Yeah. But then in 2010, which is his next movie, is The Grind, which is a different movie. I'm just like, this guy did two Grind. The Grind was tough for him during those years.
it was The Grind.
The Grind.
It was The Grind. Ben Affleck, super great. These bikers, dude.
Yeah.
These bikers are just sitting outside. And they're going like, oh, I guess it must be halftime. So they're just like hanging outside this high school.
Yeah.
She's doing nothing.
And then
but,
hit on her.
Yeah. But I love that the gargoyle guy, when he's running from Buffy, it's so great. He's like running and he just goes, ah! He just scares some people and runs off. He's having a good time and I love it. Like, that's what a vampire would do. He's like, fuck it, I'm evil. Like, ah! Just scares motherfuckers. I love it so much. And then he yells out, yeah, so steals his bike, and then he yells out, you're a dyke, and I'm telling the world. What a lame threat. Why are these guys waiting outside of high school? Oh, it must be halftime. And then she didn't stop the bike.
Yeah, she just let it go. She let it go, and it ran into the thing. And then
that's right.
Luke Perry's riding on the bike later.
She just gets off the bike.
Yeah.
It's like the actress, the stunt actress didn't know how to, beside the brake was on.
Fuck this bike.
Fuck this bike.
Yeah.
They go to Pasadena, which is nice. That's near where I grew up-ish. Yeah. The straight.
Well, they go to the Rose Parade, like where they store the floats for the Rose Parade.
Which is kind of cool.
Yeah.
I've been to the Rose Parade once in person.
I've never been in person.
We had tickets to sit in like a VIP section.
Yeah.
Get some doctor that my mom knew at the hospital had it, and it was the year what's his face neighborhood Mr. Rogers he was the one the year he died. I think he was on the float, so I got to see him on the float go by, and being in the beginning of the float, the parade is way better than being at the
end. Were you just sitting there like, this is where Buffy was and all that throughout it?
No, I think I was a kid. And I don't think I watched. So my the sad truth of my Buffy history is
you didn't watch it till your 30s.
I when I was a child, I watched the movie. I liked it, but I forgot. I didn't think anything of it. The show came out, and my older sister liked it, and so by default, I was like, I don't really want to watch this. I watched my own shit. And then junior year of high school, I get invited to go on a camping trip with my buddy Michael. And we bring a little DVD player to watch movies on the way there and stuff. And he had bought season 1 and 2 of Buffy on DVD. And so we binged the whole camping trip. We binged those 2 seasons. We just couldn't get enough. He really liked the show already. And it was my first time watching. And I devoured it. And so 16, so I started watching it at the right age.
Okay.
Like, it's just, in 97, I would have been 10. So it wasn't the right time for me, show about like high school vampires. So like I still was maybe a couple years, like either Power Rangers had just ended, or you know, like maybe I was on Zach Files or Erie Indiana right around that time. But like when I watched it at 16, I got obsessed. And then we watched it the proper way, I feel, which is when you get to like season 3, you have to then alternate Buffy, Angel, Buffy, Angel, Buffy, Angel.
Every other episode?
Yeah. Kind so
of
that
because well, they were there was a lot of crossover.
Not a lot. Probably like 4 or 5, but and they weren't, I guess, super necessary. But at the same time, it worked because like they knew what they were doing when they were releasing these back to back. So like, and you get to kind of feel like you were there like that week. So yeah. So when she the strength of the vampires is weird in this. It's basically like human. Like they're not very strong. Sure. Luke Perry can hold his own against several vampires. Yeah. So again, super multiversey, like doesn't work with the show at all, because in the show it's very much vampire, probably 4 or 5 times, maybe 3 or 4 times stronger than a human. Buffy 2 or 3 times stronger than a vampire.
It's hard to do the comedy with it if they're strong like that. So that's why I think that was a choice though to make them like that. So you could do the comedy aspect.
Yeah. So it could be a little bit more when she falls on Luke Perry, she stays a long fucking time. You know, like she's like on him for a while. Well, yeah, but for him, she says, stay still. He's like, I am still, which is great. So Pike restole that Harley. Like, he's just driving around. He's like, I didn't steal it, officer. I found it, and I've been driving around. I'm not disappointed. I'm just angry. That's a great line, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the opposite of what you normally get. Pike is awesome. He's always ready to fuck shit up. It's the most 90s dance I've ever seen. There's no way that Buffy isn't getting hit on and asked to dance. Like, there's no way Buffy's just silently sitting over by herself going, oh, poor me, I'm the hottest girl at the dance, and everyone's going to slow dance. No, yeah. She'd get hit on by every angle from all over the place. People with long-term girlfriends would see Buffy sitting over there by herself, like, hey, babe, why don't you get me a drink? And they go over and shoot their shot.
Because, I think they'd be intimidated by her. I think she's, that kind of pretty.
Oh, well, there's some guys out there, big dick energy, that just fucking get it done. I'm not one of those guys, but it happens. So is Pike an adult? Like, he works in a garage, lives on his own above a garage. Definitely an adult man in his 20s. Just like he went, you know what I mean? And he's at a prom. No one stopped him. He walked in, and now he's not in prom attire, and he's like hooking up with a high school chick.
All right.
I think he's Fonzie.
Yeah, pretty much.
Pedofonzie.
Oh, then my note was, how does he just... Pedophiles. How does he walk? Just walk into a school dance, and I put pre-Columbine.
Yeah,
because this was 92. Yeah. And then this was a little bit of a thing which I didn't quite catch until I rewatched that part. Was as they're leaving, as Buffy's running with the vampire and stuff, and they're going outside. Remember that Buffy's boyfriend went to the dance with a different chick. They're fucking in the car outside. Yeah. And she gets up and she says, well, that was quick. So he came too fast. Yeah. And so Buffy.
They were in the post-credit scene, too.
What happened? What was that?
Or was it the post-credit scene or was it the end scene when they're like, they're all like, up and they're like, it was scary and this and that, like pretending like they weren't
oh,
outside.
Oh, yeah, I did. Was it news? Were they doing news reports?
It was a news report.
Yeah,
news
that
report.
Was fucking awesome. I forgot about that. Yeah, that was quick. Coming reference. The violin. Why the melodrama? Or the violin was funny when she just sees him playing the violin when she at the high school. But why did he pull out a little metronome and get that thing going? I thought that was interesting. Ruben's death is very funny. The DJ vampire is very funny. Bro, the students, I don't know. Look at the students. Like, Buffy killed two vamps. When you walk into that gym, there's like 10 corpses on the floor. Those students held their own. I don't even think there was any casualties other than the...
No, I remember seeing there was a dead person on the ground. I think it was like a chick in a dress.
It might might still have been a vampire, though. Because I think the whole vibe was like,
they didn't
want to kill the students in this movie.
Yeah.
Like, I don't think it was like horror. It was like, the kids are going to hold their own. Don't worry about it. No kids are getting murdered in this.
Well, that final fight, too, where they're just in front of everybody and no one bothers to stop, intervene. There's just grown men there, and they're just like, yeah, he's beating up this child. Just let him do it, I guess.
Who I'm responsible for. Detention, detention.
I'll give out detentions like no other, but I'm not fighting nobody.
Yeah.
Then we get, I think, probably the most problematic part of the entire movie, and that is the principal walking up to Hillary Swank's character and fucking slamming her against the locker, causing...
SLC Punk style.
Causing brain trauma, like causing a concussion. Literally, she's retarded from now on. Like, she can't speak right after this.
Which speaks to that thing I just said. He's like, I'll beat up the girls. I'm not going to fight a man fighting a girl.
Yeah, exactly. She definitely passes out. Bro pulls out a fucking katana, the main guy. Flag versus katana fight is as slow as A New Hope's Vader versus Obi-Wan fight. I did not like that fight. Now the government can study the vampire corpses. Thought of that, and then I can't believe that they would have to get that silent. They wouldn't be able to do a little silent dance at in the gymnasium that same night when there's
sirens
literally
are going on
and... sirens, corpses, all that shit. That's the most unbelievable part. And then we get the second most unbelievable part, which is Candy Clark's single credit as Buffy's mom before the credits. Then we get the post credit, which is, he really fucked Hillary Swank up. She's broken. I thought they were young Republicans is funny. Dude, Buffy's ex is the comes too fast guy. Also, did he rape her? Because she says, I can't believe I let you do that to me.
Yeah.
She says that. I can't believe I let you do that to me. And she's like crying. Did he rape her?
Well, let you would be... Let you would be not rape, I guess.
She
was on top in the scene.
That's at the age of consent that we're in now, Michael.
The year is now 2024.
The year 2024. Even if a woman allowed, like, a woman could let you go all the way up to you are fucking her and everything's going great, the moment she feels uncomfortable and wants it to end.
But if she doesn't tell you that, you don't know. That's all.
This guy had a really good joke
but
about
she
that.
She was on top of him. What was he supposed to do?
He's laying out all these parameters that are rape, and it's like, if you promise her something to have sex with you and you don't give her that thing, that's rape. Like, all these different things. Yeah. Like, so yeah, by today's standards, I am a huge rapist.
Sure. I get that. And there's you can look at it one way.
I guess he could have thrown her off.
All I'm saying is that if she's crying at the point that we see her at the interview, okay?
Okay.
She's
regret
crying.
She says, is not the same as
rape. Wait, let me finish. If you're fucking a chick, and you see that she's starting to, in the middle of you fucking, starting to cry. Even if she doesn't stop you or say anything.
But that's not what we saw in this movie. You just made up a whole different movie in your head.
I don't know. There's some weird kinks out there, man.
All we saw, Mike, was her saying, that was fast. That doesn't mean that. But then the next thing we see is, I can't believe I let you do that to me while she's crying. Which means that she had a traumatic experience.
She's trying
with him.
To come before she cries. Apparently, she cries during sex. You got to fit a nut before that.
And again, regardless of what happened in this fucking movie, that doesn't negate the point that if you're having sex with someone and you can tell that they're uncomfortable and they're just letting you do it, then
that's a whole different story. That didn't happen in this movie.
I think it's more.
She was on top of him in this movie.
Yes, that's why I'll continue to say. Besides, what this fucking movie has anything to do with anything. I'm just saying in general,
this
if you're
just,
listening.
It's not about the movie anymore. It's
real
just a
fucking people listening.
A passionate point about rape.
If someone's uncomfortable, you have to stop. I know it has nothing to do with the movie.
No shit, Andy.
It's not a no shit situation, Mike. People do it all the time. This is something I'm telling,
know different people than me, I guess. I don't know.
Okay, so you're saying we live in a world where date rape doesn't happen, that rape doesn't happen, this doesn't happen.
In my world. What happened in yours? I don't know.
Okay, great. You don't rape your wife. Congratulations. I've never raped anyone. Have you raped anyone, Austin? Brendan, do you rape people?
So.
Yeah, the people in this room, no one's rapist. Yeah, he
Austin
did pause. Why
Austin
did you not say anything immediately?
I'm going to tell you guys a story.
Okay.
My
I can't wait.
You have our attention fully.
So,
in 2016,
my friend had I think it was his uncle. He was old. He was like 60 something. He knew he was dying soon, and he met these two like 18, 19 year old chicks, and told them that he had all this money, and that he was going to leave it to them when he died. So he spent the last years of his life just banging these two chicks, and then he died, and they realized he was broke. Is that rape?
No. That is a Lex Luthor level style fucking criminal endeavor of epic proportions.
Wait,
to get
I might
laid.
Change my opinion based on this answer, though. Same uncle?
Fuck no.
Okay.
Wait.
No, that uncle okay. from my joke, he just inherited $150,000 and a house that's worth $500,000. So that guy's just paying for sex every day of his life. Or he's going to overdose on like cocaine, or a hooker's going to rob him, or some chick is just going to grit her teeth and bang him for a few years and then divorce him and take everything.
Well,
regardless, it does not end well for him, and I'm very happy about it. I just wish I could be a fly on his cabinet.
I mean, all it sounds like, from my perspective, is he just got $150,000, a brand new home, and he's going to get to fuck hookers for the rest of his life.
But it's sad. It's sad. He's such a... No, he's like, he always said, we always joke about it, like, oh, I want to find a good woman. All women are sluts, and I just can't find a fucking good one, and da-da-da. Like, all right, go to church. So, they don't want to fuck. And I'm like, all right, go to the bar. They're all sluts. Like, he's just, he's yeah. so fucking,
He's just anti-woman. You know?
He's had restraining orders from chicks. He told a chick that she's going to be sleeping in Davy Jones' locker, and she got a restraining order on him, dude.
Does that mean he's just going to kill her and put her at the bottom of the fucking
I don't
seat?
Know. I guess it was just vague enough.
Just vague enough.
Yeah. Wow.
But not vague enough, because she got two of them, actually. The two different restraining orders from two different chicks.
Wow.
One, this one chick he had living with him for a year. He was in the military. They sent him to Alaska, and he met a chick that worked at GameStop. She banged all of his buddies, still brought her back home with him. She had a kid, and he got her a new set of tits and a new Jeep, and she took her new tits and her new Jeep, and she fucking left, dude. So that same thing's going to happen on a much grander scale now.
I forgot. Did you share your uncle's story on here?
Yeah, during Singularity.
So then we can say right. then...
That's why I said same uncle.
We can say fuck this guy, because he tried to jerk off his 13-year-old nephew.
Back to the context of the movie, I think she was crying more because she was upset she gave him her virginity.
Why are we still focusing on this?
Okay, you know, listen, to Mike's point, to everyone's point, I just wanted to make that clear. I wasn't just talking about the movie when I'm telling my audience to not rape people. I agree that, like, maybe in this situation, because we don't have enough context, that, like, she was upset that it happened. Maybe... You know what it is, and here's the sad part. Here's like,
that's also rape too. If you're like, I shouldn't have fucked that guy. That's rape.
No, let's not make light of rape. I understand that it's a bit, but real rape can be as simple as like you're fucking a chick and like she says, you know, like she doesn't want to anymore, and then but you're like so close to finishing, you just kind of finish. You know, like that can be considered rape. You know, like if you're 10 seconds away from finishing and she says, please stop, and you don't, like, that's a rape.
Thank God it's never happened to me, because that would be, I mean, I can see the dilemma there, but...
That's what I'm talking about. Like, that is, in my mind, one of the closest to, like, is it rape, is it not rape? But the moment a chick says, please stop,
they say
or
no,
stop,
it's no.
You
yeah.
have to
yeah.
stop
no
mid-sex,
no, yeah.
mid-anything. You fucking get out of there. There's a comic that I, some fucking open micer, dude. He came out and he shared a story, and you could tell it was one of the real ones, where he's just like, yeah, man, this chick passed out while she was fucking me, and I just finished. And I was like, well,
that's hot. I'm just...
It's fucked up. So anyway, get enthusiastic consent from anyone you sleep with.
This last 15 minutes, man. Yeah, Jesus
I'm
Christ.
I'm glad you took this very, comedy there, Andy.
It's been
Jesus.
A very special episode.
So, Buffy the Vampire Slayer, you guys.
Yeah.
My God.
This has been a spooky episode of 17 Days of Halloween.
Yeah, that's great. That's so good. All right, well, I hate to do the ratings, and...
We didn't really hear any of Mike's actual thoughts on
it.
Well,
didn't you give us our...
Really?
Yeah.
But here, I'll give them to you pretty quick, honestly. There's not a lot. Here, I'll give you my final thought on it. Just my final thought on this movie. Despite all its flaws, it has a certain charm. It's so bad, it's almost good. Key word there is almost. It's like a mullet. It's like business in the front, party in the back, and completely ridiculous. One-liners that'll make you groan, special effects done with Elmer's glue and toilet paper, and a plot thinner than vampire blood. But it's entertaining in its own weird, campy way. The best thing it has going for it is not boring. Plenty of laughs to be had, even if a lot of them are unintentional. And who knows, maybe this movie paved the way for the much better TV series that came later. So if you're in the mood for cheesy, campy, and completely ridiculous vampire flick, it might just be your cup of tea. Or you could just watch paint dry. It seemed cool at the time, but when you look back at it and wonder what the hell you're thinking, it's a relic of its time, a perfect encapsulation of early 90s cheese that's best enjoyed with a large dose of irony and possibly a stiff drink. 1 out of 5 stars. So not a W.
So what grade are you giving it? according to our scale.
Our
if you're
scale,
a, if
I would
you're
give
a,
it
if,
a D.
If you're a listener to the show, I have to explain it to people. If you're a new time listener to the show, we do things a little differently around here. B is the top of our list. We don't fuck with A's for some reason. And we go to F, and we've added a new letter W for waste of time. It's the worst thing. It's worse than an F. So don't think of it like B through F is A through F. Think of it like B through F is its own thing. And then there's a special designation way below that, which is its own separate rating of W, which is just don't fucking
watch
it.
The bowels of hell.
Yeah,
yeah,
it's
just it's not
a
worth
D.
it.
It's got funny parts, but it's very campy. Very, it's very of its time. It's very early 90s cheese. I want to hear one argument against that.
Well, okay. First off,
anything I just said.
You said that the laughs weren't, that most of them were unintentional laughs. I didn't laugh
he didn't
once
say
at
most.
Any of them.
He said some of them.
He said some of them, but yeah. There wasn't editing choices or
that's
low budget laugh. Or low budget effects or anything
acting
or bad
choices
acting
can be. Yes.
I don't think there's any bad
like,
acting choices.
I didn't say
that
bad. I said acting choices.
There was some dialogue in there that could have
there
been
was
meant
some
serious
cheese in this.
But it was yeah, it was corny and kind of silly.
What are you talking about? Like what?
Just some of the slang and lingo that they used was kind of silly. Like that was just so like 5 minutes ago, and like just
yeah.
Some of the stuff they used was just. It's silly. It goes to I understand what you mean. It goes to the sense of it being like encapsulating the early 90s. Like their lingo, the way teens talk.
So you don't
90s.
Like Clueless?
I love Clueless. And
Clueless didn't do it
you
to
didn't
this
like
level.
Valley Girl?
I didn't
Valley
say
Girl
I didn't
do
it
to this
movie.
Level.
I didn't say
I didn't like it.
Yeah.
A D on our scale is the equivalent of a C, which is an average.
Well,
yeah.
No, we can't. I said don't think of it like that.
Well,
you
can
can't
make up
it,
your own rules all
you
want. You
can't think of it like A through F. You have to think of it like B
no,
through F is its own thing, and then W is its own special thing.
Yeah, which puts it at D, right in the middle.
It's a low middle.
Well, that's a high
we only
middle.
Have four. Now, W is its own thing.
Okay.
So it's a low middle. So, I would say that...
Okay, give it a D plus.
I already did. I already gave you one.
I'm going to quit coming to these. There's just no point. I don't know why I come. I really don't know why I bother. I really don't. I'm starting to wonder seriously why I come here.
Because I need someone to argue with.
These yes men on each side of you.
I know.
That's why we sit across from each other.
That's what it is.
We haven't gotten to me yet.
We're diametrically opposed. Oh, yeah, I'm not expecting good things from Austin right now. I'm sad he watched. I'm pissed he stayed the night. He hung my puppet in the closet with a belt. Now he's shitting on my phone.
If
your
plan,
childhood movies.
If your plan was to make him never want to stay the night again, I think you succeeded.
Yeah, good. All right, Austin, tell us what you thought.
So when I was locked in that bedroom.
Maybe the first thing if you want a good rating out of somebody is not to tell them, get in there and don't come out. Yeah.
I was hungover and sad that a romantic prospect did not work out from the night before. I started watching this movie, and I started crying and asking it to stop. And... It did not stop, but then I saw Christy Swanson,
hey,
and her big sweaty yabos,
yeah,
and David Barbiturates,
yeah,
and of course Tackfly. A few good lines, Milton from Office Space.
Oh, fuck yeah.
So I'm gonna give this three sweaty Buffy boobs.
Hey, all right,
so it's a C-.
C minus. All right. That's better than Mike.
And it's literally only because of Christy Swanson.
Sweaty.
He's grading it on Yabo scale.
Buffy boobs.
The Yabo scale.
Yabos.
And then, and then it finally stopped.
Okay. And now my good friend, close.
This is actually nicer than
confidant.
Yours.
I just wanted to
it's
make
like,
him tremble.
It's like. Brandon's like, I've never seen a worse piece of shit in my life. It's a W minus.
I had to wash. I had to chase this with Singularity.
Yeah. All right, Brandon, what'd you think?
Did it make you miss anything?
No pressure.
Yeah. Did it miss you miss anything? This movie made me miss Reanimator. Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. It's a movie. It was fun. It was a fun watch. It was my first time watching it. I haven't watched the show either, things like that. And I was just kind of watching it. I'm like, okay, am I supposed to be taking this seriously or is it a comedy? And then when certain things happen, I'm like, okay, it's a comedy. It's got to be a comedy. There's no way. Absolutely. And then the things that saved it for me, she was attractive. She was pretty.
Super.
So that was good.
We're all
Chrissy Swanson.
Yeah.
She's okay. So this movie, if in the Buffyverse,
yeah,
this movie is the one night stand, and the show is the longtime girlfriend.
Absolutely.
There you go.
Absolutely.
But also, I mean, Paul Reubens was fantastic in it. David Arquette, great. Like those three people. Yeah, those three people saved the movie for me. You know, by adding those levels of humor and different dialogue, things like that. So I agree with Austin on his rating, and I gave it a C-.
Okay. Would it change
give it a B for Buffy?
Yeah, you haven't given it your rating yet.
Would it change your guys' opinion, which I just had this thought, and I agree with a lot of what you said, except
if Christy Swanson comes in here and gives me a blowjob, then yeah. if Christy Swanson calls me for an emergency titty fuck...
I might consider
giving it a C+.
As long as in the middle of that titty fuck, if she says to stop, you stop. I'm okay with it.
I don't know if I have the strength to do that.
What if we look at this movie as a movie? What if we look at this movie as a in-universe Buffy the Vampire Slayer movie shot in the early 2000s after the show ends about a bunch of people, the residents of Sunnydale, talking about this mythical chick that's been running around killing vampires in their town for the last, you know, seven years, which people definitely know about her. In the show, there's one of the sweetest, will make you cry every time you watch it moments, is during her high school prom. And during her high school prom, everyone's like winning homecoming queen, whatever, right? And then one of the guys gets up and goes, is Buffy Summers here? And the light finds her at the table. She's kind of like eating something. She goes, huh? And he goes like, hey, Buffy, listen, we know, like, you've saved us a lot. Like, we know that, like, we don't know what's going on or whatever, but, like, we know that you've saved us a lot. Like, and then you hear people in the audience like, vampires, werewolves, you know, like, giant lizard creatures. And,
rapists.
Like, or whatever, right? And people are like cheering, you know, like cheering. And so it's like, so we made you this. And like, they give her like this jewel encrusted umbrella thing that they made. It's like, you're our school protector. We just want to say thank you. That gets me every time, because it's like, so the town knows about Buffy. Like, that's the thing. All of those students in that prom, especially graduation, where they all have to team up against a monster, the whole school does. Yeah. It's very cool. If you take that, and then the end of Buffy, which I won't ruin the very, very end of Buffy, something happens that would absolutely, the entire world would know about it. There would be news stories about it. There's no way that this would be covered up in any situation. It's like a huge thing. Like, this doesn't happen, sure. But like the equivalent of that dome falls over Springfield, right? Like people would know about it kind of deal. So something happens. I think enough residents of the town could be interviewed. Some director guy gets in his head to write a Buffy the Vampire Slayer like movie, and this is what we get, which is a not quite right version of the movie of the show, which I like. I like this. So that's what.
Well,
we're
that's
going
a
with.
Completely different thing.
Yeah, I know. It was made first.
Us having not seen the show makes absolutely no sense to us.
I like the parallel universe theory better.
Yeah.
Fine. I gave it a B+.
But it is funny hearing what like triggers you emotionally. What else triggers you emotionally?
I don't
makes
know.
You cry.
Let's I want to know what Buffy porn parodies you watch.
I have. Yeah, 100%.
No hesitation.
It's Muff. It's Muffy the Vampire Slayer.
I bet he has
no,
a third
it's
age.
Called. It's called Muffy. It exists. It's called Muffy the Vampire Slayer.
Who's it directed by, Andy?
I don't know the director.
Who's it starring?
It's Dick Henry.
I'm starting to think he has like a fan, like erotic fan fiction for Buffy. It's a website, and it's more popular than this podcast.
There's probably thousands of erotic fan fictions of Buffy.
I feel like your plan finally came to fruition, but it backfired on you. You started a podcast, got people to join it. Forced them to watch a Buffy movie, trying to make us all diehard fans, and it didn't.
Everybody
work.
Declined to do rehash on Buffy
because there is no chance I want to watch the series after the movie.
Oh, that's not fair.
I'll watch the pilot.
Yeah,
I'll see if it's any
I'll
good.
See an episode.
See
good,
yeah.
I'll watch the pilot and
see
episode
if it's enough
two.
Different.
I would almost recommend people start season two. So listen, season one. Now keep in mind, this is there's six really good seasons of a 7-season show. Season one, thankfully, it's a short season. The rest are like 20-something episodes. Season one is 13 episodes. It's short. If you can get through it, it's a little bit lower budget than you'd want. If you can get through, that's why it was like the stakes disappeared with the vampires kind of deal.
Was Buffy what they started Fox with?
No,
was it
WB, I think.
WB? Okay, yeah. Well, was what they started WB with?
I don't know if it started.
Let's say right at the beginning of it, before they had
WB
big budgets
started.
Or whatever? Okay.
I don't remember the age. Okay. I don't remember the time.
Yeah, Buffy was before, like, Roswell and all that stuff, wasn't it?
Maybe around the same time as Roswell. I liked Roswell.
My mom liked Roswell.
Oh, yeah, you're all fine with Roswell, but Buffy's too far.
I never watched it, but I watched it.
No, okay, so I would say, honestly...
Dawson's
if you
Creek,
get
maybe.
Through the first 13 episodes of Buffy, I would even maybe look up a list to find out the critical episodes of season one to watch. Maybe watch 4 or 5 episodes. Watch like the first, get introduced, maybe like the first like two. And
how
then
long
watch
are the episodes?
13 of the first season.
How long are the episodes?
They're 45 minutes. One and a half speed.
One and a half speed. We don't all watch things at 1.5 speed anymore.
But I will say this. When you get to season two, it really gets good. Season three is phenomenal, but we're talking like, I think 5, 6, and 7, some of the best TV you'll ever see. But then Angel is good from, I think, beginning to end. So like, if you get to where Angel starts, like even if you just watch Buffy and then you start Angel and you're like, oh, I like this better, and you just go with that, you're still going to get one of the best series of all time with Angel. And it sucks that you have to do so much fucking homework to get to Angel for it to really pay off. And I don't know if Angel stands alone where you don't have the backstory of Buffy and all that and, like, the appreciation of the universe or whatever.
You know, even episodes of Angel kind of stand alone because I've watched them with my wife, and she has had to explain things to me because she'd seen all the Buffys. But I've watched Angel before, and Angel is very good.
Yeah, it's really good. Yeah. Speaking of which, the scene... where Max decides to deviate from the road trip that Goofy planned that leads to their fight is another one that gets me emotional.
Okay.
Just to answer your question from earlier.
That one does. Yeah, that one makes more sense.
Yeah, that whole movie. Sorry, that's just autism.
I was waiting for the answer. Yeah. It took me a minute.
Only took 40 minutes. You're fine.
Yeah, yeah.
Is there any other Buffy-related movies you're going to try to sneak in on us?
No, I don't think
shows?
So.
He already did. It was that teacher one.
Which one?
the philosopher, whatever.
Oh, God, After the Dark.
After the Dark.
The philosophers.
Yeah.
no, thanks.
I will say one of the better moments of my life, one of the funnier, like just because of the way your brain works, but Smallville was out at the time, and so I watched a Smallville and Angel premiere, because they premiered the same day, different times, back-to-back, because I had caught up by that point watching with my friends, so that I was watching Angel the last couple seasons as it aired, right? So that was kind of fun, like I was an actual to-the-end guy. And Smallville, it's Superman, right? So he gets shot with like a machine gun and fucking walks it off, right? And he keeps getting shot at, and it doesn't matter, like he's Superman. So then in the show, my buddy and I, we were watching together, and Angel, some guy pulls out a gun and starts shooting at Angel, and he, like, fucking runs and gets out of the way, and both of us are like, and then we both realize at the same time, oh, that's not Angel, or that's not fucking Superman, he's a vampire, getting shot hurts,
Like, wait, is it the same actor? Oh, no.
No, it's not. But it's just, we literally ended Smallville, went straight into Angel, and then because they're both super-powered beings that have super strength, whatever, the fact that Angel ran away from the gun was very funny in hindsight to us realizing what had happened. But David Boreanaz as Angel is so good. If you're a fan of Bones, go check out the where it all started, like him being hunky, like vampire boy and Buffy, and then like really, really cool, like superhero almost in Angel. Yeah. Like not
it's,
like
it's cool. It
doesn't Angel's fly around, cool. but like he just he fights crime. That's like he goes to LA where he's just like, fuck it. Buffy, you take care of Sunnydale. That's your territory. I'm gonna go to LA and I'm gonna see what's up. And then he, the main bad guy in Angel is a law firm. And you're thinking, what? And the reason it's crazy, it's a law firm that helps fucking demons and shit get away with their crimes. So
run by Lex Luthor.
Not Lex Luthor. Oh, that would be small, but that would that tracks. Yeah. But that's like that's kind of cool. But anyway. B+, which is what the movie's gonna get.
Because none of
B
your ratings
plus
matter.
For Buffy. Yeah. That's all. That's the only. It just makes sense because B for Buffy.
Reality
D,
is
D
C.
Cups.
B for Buffy. I mean, realistically, Duffy. What would it be? I'd like give C. it a B+. It'd be like a C+. Two C minuses and a D+ would
and
equal.
A B+. It's a straight C, Andy. At most.
For cheese campy.
All right. Yeah, fuck it. You know
campy.
What?
I'm C not for gonna, campy's pretty
I won't,
good.
I won't dive on this hill. We're going to go C. Just a straight C.
I already know you're going to tear apart my movie next week.
Okay, here's this
Why is it bad?
Well,
it's,
well
silly.
It's problematic.
It's silly.
There's some...
It's slapstick.
Have you seen it?
Yeah.
You already watched
I
it.
I haven't seen it.
Yeah, I've been on...
Okay.
I've been,
watched
I've been
everything
living,
that we're supposed to watch.
I've been living my life at 1x speed right now. I'm trying to get everything done for all this fucking Halloween stuff and Christmas stuff and... All the stuff I'm trying to get ready. Oh, by the way, if you're listening to this at Christmas time, make sure to check out our website. We should have information. I don't know what I'm doing.
I
have no intention of following through on this. But
this video is getting demonetized. It's like, yeah, you spent 15 minutes talking about rape.
But check out our website for details about the Andy Rice birthday extravaganza 2025. We'll have deets up on the website and other places. So great. With that in mind, we will end. Oh, no, wait. Fuck. This is Buffy. This isn't Christmas.
It's a regular episode.
Oh, we're doing Grinch still.
Eight crazy days of rape.
Oh, fuck. Never mind.
Welcome to our timeline where nothing matters and
Pay
there is no such
December.
Thing as time.
Exactly. With me, as always, it's Austin. With his score, I would stake him in the heart right now with a fucking actual wooden stake feral.
Tech fly.
It's Michael with his score. I would put a stake in him and then let him suffer as long as Paul Rubens' character did, where it's just the prolonged and miserable death, you son of a bitch, Larson.
Have a good week, everybody.
And Brennan controls my paycheck. So Brennan, da 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 Shipley up to Boston, and we love him.
Have a good night, everybody.
And I've been your host, Andy, and I could go for a steak right now, Rice.
Steak and rice?
We've been raped. We've been fried. We've been tack fly.